Turn, if you will, in your Bible tonight to John chapter 7. Going to look at one verse, verse 37. Then we got this fan on tonight. That feels good. Somebody said, "You're in a short sleeve shirt." I said, "Man, it was hot up there this morning. I don't take that chance again." I was in the last days up here. I thought I was going to crash. It says on verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come study your word together. God, we just pray that if there's lost people here tonight, and Lord, they possibly could be, Lord, that they might get their life right with you tonight before it's too late. And Lord, if there's those that are saved and need to recommit their life to you, Lord, I pray tonight might be that night. Lord, we give you all the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Several have been talking about the Roman road and how to witness and things like that. Well, you know, I'm glad that you're interested in that, because we have opportunities day after day after day to share the good news of the gospel. And as Christians, we ought to know how to talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says here, this is a very good verse of to talk about it. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast. In those days, there's a feast that lasted 7 or 8 days. And at certain times, the appointed officials would go down to the water and fill their pots with water and bring them up, and at this feast they would pour out the water. And as they poured out the water, it was signifying that of the God striking the rock in the wilderness and the water coming out of the rock. It also signified the blessings that God has poured out upon his people. And so year after year they were in hope of God fulfilling his promise to them. And it's in that surrounding of this great day of the feast that Jesus stood up. And as they were looking for the fulfillment of his promise in Christ, Jesus stood up and cried, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." It would seem that Jesus Christ was making a announcement to come to him for life. Come to him if you're thirsty. I'm the one you need, you see. Pouring out water in hopes of fulfilling your promise is not going to get it. I'm the one you need. I am the water that you need in life. And it was a bold claim for someone to make at that time. But Jesus, being the Son of God, knew that he could make that and knew that the words that he spoke were true. And it's in this verse of Scripture tonight that I want us to look at because it gives an invitation and a promise. And I want you to notice the three words of the invitation. If any man thirsts, let him come and drink of the water which I give. Now, the invitation at thirst means if we have a need. And folks, as you look around today, all over our society, as we go out, we see needs. We see needs of people that come by here every single day. And they're longing for something. They're looking for a handout. And when you talk about Jesus Christ, he just seems foreign to them. We don't want that right now. What we need is gas, or what we need is food. But you know, it's over and over. Those things don't last. And what they really need is Jesus in their life. And then he says, come. That's an invitation that God gives to every single one of us. And drink. And these three words are followed by a promise. The word thirst speaks of man's condition in the present. You see, man's condition is one of dryness. I look out today at our people. I see people in our churches. Folks, our churches are about as dry as a desert. Have you ever thought about it? You go into most churches. I praise God that our church is better than most, but you know, I want it to be alive, and God wants it to be alive. And in most churches, they're dry as a wilderness or a desert place. They're not giving the people what they need. Anytime you look and see churches that are telling people that, you know, easy believism, you come to church and give and you'll get gain, and the fastest growing churches are the churches that are not teaching the gospel anymore, but are teaching a feel-good type ministry, or a ministry of excitement, or a ministry of pleasure. And folks, those churches are full. I can look at a lot of them today and see, but you know, they're never satisfied. Those people are never satisfied. They're always looking for more. And Jesus says, no, what I've got, when you receive me, that will satisfy. I read about the story of the woman at the well, Jacob's well, who he come every day with jars to draw water. And those waters that she was drawing did not satisfy. And Jesus says, whoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoever, lady, drinks of the water in which I give will never thirst again. I just imagine that caught her ears, didn't it? Caught her attention when he said that. Whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. Our world is someone like that woman. She's coming over and over again, and our world is saying, you know, we find things, but we're never satisfied. We keep going out to the well. We keep digging the wells. We keep filling our jars, but we're never satisfied. And I believe we're like, our people in our churches are like this woman that would say to Jesus, give me of this water, that I might not thirst again, or neither have to come to the well every day and draw. You see, I believe our people are tired of drawing from empty wells. Have you ever wondered why people go to church anymore? Churches are about as dull and dead as the world outside. And they're tired. That's the reason they're not coming anymore. That's the reason Sunday nights have fallen off to nothing. Most churches don't even have a Sunday night service. I was just sitting here a while ago looking around, and we're better than most. I know churches that are a lot bigger than ours that have just canceled Sunday night because they can't get a crowd anymore on Sunday night. People got to go to work on Sunday morning, or Monday morning, so hey, let's cut out Sunday night church. And we fill it with all kinds of things. We fill it with all kinds of doings, but it's not worshiping God. And I wonder sometimes if we're just tired of going to the same old wells and drinking of the same old water every day with no satisfaction and no hope of the things to come. And when we look at life, Jesus says, listen, you're like the people then. You're looking for broken promises or promises that are not there. I'm the one that gives eternal life. I'm the one that quenches the thirst when you're thirsty. And man, we find people, our Sunday school teacher said it right this morning, we find people, they just don't want to know about Jesus Christ. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in the gospel. And they try to satisfy themselves with worldliness and money and comfort and all kinds of things. And they follow after those guys that promise those kind of things. Isaiah says, everyone that thirsts, come to me and get water and receive with no money. Come buy, eat, and drink without price. And that word thirst, this is where I want you to notice comes into the plan of salvation. The word thirst speaks of the first need on the way to salvation. You see, thirst speaks of that first need on the path to a better life. It's not until a person realizes that they're thirsty that they can ever be saved. You see, it's not until you desire to live better, you desire to become better, you become so thirsty in your life that you're tired of living the way you're living. It's not getting you anywhere. Kind of reminds me of the young man in the pig pen. He came to himself, didn't he? The Bible says he was feeding and eating of the pods that the swine left, and he desired something better, and he came to himself. He says, you know what? I can go back to my father's house and become a slave or a servant and be fed better than this. And it's not until we desire in our life to come to Christ for a better way of life or get on the path to doing right. And let me tell you, you can't work your way to heaven. I'm not saying that. But Jesus says in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness, and they shall be filled. You see, the thirst he's talking about can only be quenched with the water that Jesus gives. Nothing else will do. Nothing else is going to satisfy that emptiness in your life when you desire Jesus Christ. And when we really get to the point of the end of ourselves, do we find Jesus Christ? Folks, believe me, we are so tied up in our own selves and running and this and that and doing that, our lives have become so busy that we have left Jesus out. And he says, when you get hungry and thirsty for God and you seek God, then you'll find him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me, and you what? Will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That means we've got to have a desire. That means you've got to have a thirst. And I propose to you tonight that if we're going to find Christ, if we're going to come to Christ, we've got to have a desire for him in our life. And like we said a while ago, our world or our society does not desire things that are right. They're not desiring Jesus Christ in their life anymore. They don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want to know about Jesus Christ. That's the kind of life that we have today in our society. And it's just a step away from the end of time when God's going to come back for. The Bible says that's the kind of people we have become at the end of the age. Those with ministers, those with people that will hear or tell them what they want to hear. Amen? That's where we're at today. And we go home amidst all the formalities, amidst all the thirst, with our lives still thirsty. Because that's not where it's found. It's not until Christ comes into our life. Not until we desire to ask Christ to come into our life. The people are no doubt startled when Jesus says, listen, I am the water. If anyone is athirst, let him come to me and drink. He says, I'm the only one that can satisfy. And don't you imagine they were kind of startled? They've been looking at all these people going through their formalities, going through their ceremonial deals. And Jesus says, hey, all of that will get you nowhere. If you really want your thirst quenched, you've got to come unto me. I'm the one that can satisfy. Come unto me. I am the one that you need. And now notice the broadness of the invitation. First it says, if any man thirst, the broadness of the invitation, he will provide. But unless a man thirst, he's not going to provide. If that man will thirst and come, he can help him. But if that man does not desire and does not come to Jesus, he can't help him. If you want to be satisfied tonight, you've got to come to Jesus. He's the only one that can quench that desire in your life for what's right. Now, it includes all. If any man, anyone, that's the invitation Jesus gives, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You see, every person, Jesus doesn't exclude anyone. Someone says, well, you know, we're kind of special. Well, no, we're not. Jesus loves all of us. All of us just the same. I used to love, I still do that old song, red, yellow, black, and white. We're precious in God's sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. You see, the thirst of the soul can only be quenched, can only be satisfied from something outside of itself. And it comes from Jesus Christ when we desire to have Christ in our life. And to anyone tonight who realizes that something is missing in their life and asks Jesus Christ to come into their life, guess what? He will come in. That's the invitation. If any man thirst, let him come. Everyone can come to Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that thirsty. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. And the Lord closed up his sayings here of the Bible. I preached on this before. And the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is thirst say, come. And whosoever will, he says, let him say, come. Man, leave the formalities, Jesus says, and come to him. Walk out to Jesus Christ and out of the world. You know, when we come to Christ, people are afraid that their friends are going to ridicule them, that they'll lose some of their friends. But Jesus says, you know, if you come to me, you're going to have to come directly to me. Not an organization. Man, people think today that some organizations are going to save them. Not to a church. People think today that, well, if I go to church, I can be saved. I don't know where we get that idea. Not to an ordinance in a church. Oh, if we'll just keep the ordinances, then baptism and things like that. Not to a man. If, oh, well, that preacher told me that I was saved. Well, a preacher's good, I guess. Churches are good, and they're fine in their places. We go to them, and we worship God. But no denomination or no church, going to church, can save a person. It's all in Jesus Christ. That's what he says. You've got to come unto me, he said. Not a person, not a church. And not only that, it's a personal matter. We've got the idea today, or some people have the idea today, that if mama and papa were raised up in a Christian home, and we were raised up in a Christian home, we're all Christians. I've heard people tell me that. Well, I'm a Christian. My folks were all Christians. Well, you know, that doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus says it's a personal matter. It's a personal matter. Every individual soul has to be thirsty enough to say, Lord, I want to come to you. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. And it's wonderful to think that God in heaven so loved me that he gave his life for me. Isn't that a wonderful thought, to know that God so loves you that he sent you a personal invitation to come to him? Something that we can't afford. It's a gift that's given. And you know, at Christmas time, we ought to think about that. I don't know about you, but I think about his birth. I thank God for the special gift that he gave each one of us. And then the third word is drink. If any man thirst, let him come and let him drink. Now, that's appropriate. And he says, if you drink, what do? When you drink something, you're literally receiving it into your life, isn't you? Into your body. When you drink water, it comes into your body. And this drink is received. And in receiving this drink, you're recognizing that, one, I need Jesus. I need him in my life. I need him in my heart. He's the one that can quench the thirst that I have. I've asked him to come in, and I'm receiving him into my life. Second, you hear Christ. He's the one that can meet your need. Ask him to come into your life. Look to him for your life. Look for him for that life-giving water. Like the woman at the well said, Lord, give me this water. I'm tired of coming to the well. I'm tired of going through the same old routine. Jesus said, I'm the spring. I'm the fountain. I give life. But you can't stop there. You got to drink it, don't you? You got to take it into your life. And then it becomes your spring. Oh, the fountain does you no good until you take it in. You know, have you ever sit down beside a river and watched all the water go down the river? And somewhere down the line, you sit there and you're thirsty. And you said, man, I wish I had a drink. All the water is right there. But until you take it in, you're not going to receive it into your life, are you? It's just going by you. May not be fit to drink. It may be like the lake. But let me tell you something. When you take Jesus Christ into your life, he fills your life. He is that spring, that well that flows up into your life. And actually, when you receive Christ, the Bible tells us that he comes into our life and he quenches our thirst and he seals us with his spirits or his spirit. And when we're filled with the Spirit, then we give life to others. We're that life-giving water we're to tell about. And each one of us, personally, we drink of the water. And until we drink it and take it in, it'll do us no good. And when we do take it in, folks, we're to give it out. You see, we're to give out that life-drinking water. Just think, to drink of Christ and to take him into your life and to never share him with someone, to never give that life away, to never tell anybody about the refreshment that you found in Christ, to never tell anybody about the hope, the promises that Christ gives us in the Word of God. That would be a shame, wouldn't it? I hope you're here tonight, and I hope you understand that when we thirst, we seek Christ. We ask him to come into our life, the Bible says here, and drink. And he says, if anyone tastes, let him come to me. He says in his word, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. We talked about that this morning. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ, you may not want to go into all of that explanation to tell them, but just simply tell them that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. That when you desire Christ, when you want him to come into your life, that void is given to you by the Holy Spirit. He wants you to know that. He wants to come into your life. And if you have a desire to come in, he will come in if you'll ask him. And he'll fill your heart with the Holy Spirit. And he will seal you. And he will bless you. And he'll quench that thirst in your life. I don't know about you, but, you know, I could never be happier than the day that I received Christ in my life. It was a joyous occasion, for he blessed me. He sealed me. And he said, you're mine, and I am yours. And he gave all of himself to me. He didn't just hold back a little bit. He filled me that day. Folks, if you don't believe, if you've never trusted him as Lord and Savior, ask yourself, why not? If you're dry, why not be filled again? You know, we all leak. I heard somebody say, we all leak, don't we? We get filled with the Spirit, and we'll be going great guns, and the first thing you know, we find ourselves, we've leaked, and we're not full of the Spirit anymore like we were. And we desire, Lord, would you fill me again? He will, but you got to come to him. You got to want him to fill you. And it's over and over, and you get filled by reading His Word. You get filled by coming to church. You get filled by prayer. You get filled by sharing the Word, doing the will of God in your life. And if you're not sharing the Word with somebody, if you're not telling them about the gospel, you're missing out on the greatest blessing. Man, it's just exciting when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they come to know the Lord. It's exciting when you share the spring of water, the life of Christ, with somebody, and next Sunday you see them walk the aisle and give their life to you. That's exciting, folks. That never gets old. Do you believe? Have you put your trust in Him? Are you drinking from that well that gives eternal life? If not, we're going to give an invitation. Like I said, I just imagine most of you are. But you know what? We all leak, and we all need to come to the altar. We all need to just say, Lord, I want to be filled again. I want that same feeling that I had when I was first saved. And you know, if you do that, He'll do it. That's His promise. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight. Lord, that You are the bread of life, that You are the spring of water that we need to quench our thirst. And Lord, if there's somebody here tonight that's thirsty, if they're just dry, Lord, I pray that they'll renew their spirit and come to You. We'll give You the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.